Good evening and welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. We are coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington. I'm Douglas Impuga. This evening, we'll look at the COVID-19 vaccination rollout in Africa and how the continent is handling the pandemic. And with me tonight is regular panelist Suleiman Mugula. He's joining us from Durban, South Africa. He's an independent political analyst. So welcome to the show, Suleiman.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Douglas.
You're very much welcome. And joining us from Nairobi, Kenya, is Nelly Mora Nyangorora. She's a Nairobi-based independent journalist. Welcome to the show once again, Nelly.
Thank you.
You're very much welcome. Let me start maybe in South Africa. There was some controversy about the vaccines the country received, and there's been this issue of a variant of what the people call South African variant. So what's the situation over there now as far as COVID vaccination vaccines are concerned?
Douglas and the listeners, first of all, to put it clear, COVID is still raging even here in South Africa. The infections are still continuing, and the deaths are still continuing. But just like the way we are found when the pandemic has just started, the South African system, unlike compared to those ones on the continent, COVID found a robust health system here. We have got a first-class private health care system, which is comparable to any advanced or any developed country system, and the public health care system, though with the challenges, but it is also resilient, it's also robust, it has got its challenges, but compared to other African countries, it is strong enough to provide the services required to the people of South Africa. So from that background, that health system was able to face the COVID pandemic. The system was able to manage to respond to the emergencies which came because it is not so weak, both financially and in terms of human resources. Financially, we are able to prepare what was required. We had the human resource to be able to roll out. We had the finances to be able to help to procure the required infrastructure, required the required medicines to support. The money was there enough to be able to roll it out, and then we also had enough money to respond to the other effects which were coming as a result of the COVID. So from that perspective, from the time the COVID arrived up to the present day when we are dealing with the vaccination, there hasn't been a stop. The system has been working itself out, and it has been working relatively well. They have been able to test. South Africa tests effectively. The country is able to know how many infections are taking place every day. It is able to track and trace those who are infected. It is able to intervene to manage the cases of those who go to the hospitals. It is able to provide enough hospital beds. It is able to manage those who are there, so much that our recovery rate is within the 90s. So from that system, which is already able to manage, that is how even the vaccination has come. It is going in a system which is already well oiled up, so much that as we are talking now, the vaccination process is already in progress. Yes, the first doses which came, they were ordered before the scientists had made enough research to know whether the AstraZeneca vaccine was able to respond to the new variant which had come after the second wave. So, unfortunately, the doses of vaccination arrived in the country when the scientists have just found out that the AstraZeneca vaccine cannot effectively respond to the variant which had mutated from the original COVID virus. So as a result of that one was set aside, it is still put on hold, and it is a fact of discussion. It is a fact of an internal discussion as far as what has got to be done. But side by side, again, with the capacity which South Africa has, it had already ordered the JJ, the Johnson & Johnson vaccines, which have already arrived in the country. And as we talk, it has already been circulated across the country. And according to the health ministry, by today, the first recipients, which are the most vulnerable, the health workers, as of today, the figures which the country has is saying, by today, 40,000 health workers would have been vaccinated. The rollout is continuing. We have got the human capacity. We have got the financial capacity. The system is able to manage to roll out the system, both infrastructure-wise and then financial-wise. Maybe I can add on that as far as the finances are concerned, oh, the budget in South Africa has just been read, and you put aside 9 billion runs in our currency, which is set aside only for vaccines. And then there is also a 9 billion rand, which is a contingency fund, which the government has said it can be given out, it can be rolled out in case it is needed anytime. So financially, we don't have a problem. The human resource, we don't have a problem. The infrastructure, the systems are already there, they are already in place, and they are ready to respond as and when they are needed. So as far as South Africa is concerned, Douglas and the listeners, I think South Africa is on course, is doing very well, and the citizens are anxious, and they are continuing. Maybe the last point is that we should also credit South Africa, because it is the very system which I'm talking about, which is rolling, which responded to the pandemic. It included a team of scientists who are working day and night, tracking down the development of the virus. That is why, before even the AstraZeneca vaccine could be given, the scientists had already discovered its level of efficacy. That is why it had to be stopped. Otherwise, if we are like any other countries, maybe the AstraZeneca vaccine would have been rolled out, whereas it would not be effective. But our team of scientists in South Africa is working day and night and is helping a lot.
That seems to be some encouraging news from South Africa. Nelly, how is the situation like in Nairobi and the neighborhood there?
Thank you. In Nairobi, remember we opened our economy fully in January, although there is still a curfew, so people are still learning to live with COVID-19. We are yet to roll out the vaccine. Official reports indicate that we should be expecting the first 24 million doses of AstraZeneca in 4 days. And the other 11 million, which will be from Pfizer and Moderna, will be procured later. This 24 million doses is coming through COVAX. It's a COVAX initiative that has countries pooling resources together to have vaccines given. So when the economy is opening up to normalcy, our curfew still stands. We have the task force for vaccine deployment, and it has indicated through a press briefing yesterday that the country is ready. The infrastructure to roll out the vaccine is also in place, because we have been having vaccines inoculation, mass inoculation against measles, against yellow fever and whooping cough. And so all this infrastructure is one that will provide the basis for a head start. And we have identified 23,000 healthcare workers, because the first doses will be given to those high-risk area people, like the healthcare workers, the frontline workers, the security personnel, immigration officers, teachers, the elderly, and the terminally ill. So this will be the 20% of the population will be inoculated when the first batch arrives. And we also are have 9 storage facilities which have been reactivated to handle the logistics of the mass inoculation. So this will be done in phases. Right now, the Ministry of Health is working on the messaging, because we know that there's been a lot of myths surrounding this particular vaccine going around. So to dispel this myth, the ministry is working with the task force to target what kind of message that will be given, and it is involving cultural and religious leaders so that they can lead in this public education effort. So where Kenya stands right now is that in 4 days, the vaccine is expected, and then 4 days after its arrival, then it will take 2 weeks for the first people who have been identified as high risk to receive the vaccine. That is the 24 million vaccine, and this will be phase one. By later in the year, it is expected that many of the other the populace will also have received the vaccine.
Nelly, the people you talk to, what do they feel? Do they trust the vaccine? Because some people are scared or don't trust the vaccine. What's the feeling around the common man and woman on the street?
The common man and woman is a bit skeptical about this vaccine, and this is because the Ministry of Health is yet to start rolling out the public education to dispel the propaganda that has been going around, and the clips that have been shared on social media platforms showing how this vaccine is damaging to people, and even some claiming that it is not its efficacy is in doubt, especially after South Africa had to change from AstraZeneca to Johnson & Johnson. So such kind of reports are promoted skepticism. But we are waiting to see whether the public education that will be undertaken by the Ministry of Health to be able to sensitize people and be able to highlight cases of success in this particular vaccine, whether it will now make people have a change of attitude. And remember, I said that the first target will be healthcare workers, the frontline nurses who have been administering COVID treatment. So once this, the healthcare workers take this vaccine, and the police and the teachers, maybe then the populace will be able to see that this is something that they really need, and the government also taking the lead role in giving the right information. Then the attitudes might change. But going by a report released by a non-governmental organization late last week, this organization calls itself Sauti za Wananchi Twaweza. According to that particular survey that was done through a mobile phone panel survey, it found out that 97% of Kenyans are aware of coronavirus in Kenya. They're aware, and most of those who are aware are women, men, and those in urban settings. But then some other interesting perspective in that survey is that about 36% of the populace still think that coronavirus is a myth, that it is not something that is real, that they believe that even if it is, it is a common cold that can be treated by ginger, honey, and lemon, or steam inhalation, so they do not see the need for a vaccine. And the other thing that has promoted the skepticism is the manner in which the media has highlighted procurement processes that surrounded COVID-19 drugs and equipment, the PPEs. Daily, Kenyans have been inundated with news reports of breach of procurement processes surrounding the vaccine. There have been corruption claims around how the vaccines, not the vaccine rather, but the equipment has been procured. There's been budget padding so that someone gains. There's been equipment being bought and kept in the warehouse for months, not being used up to now, yet healthcare workers are suffering and they don't have the equipment in hospital. Then there's been the issue of healthcare strike You know, the health workers have been on strike again, protesting the lack of protective equipment. So all these have fueled that skepticism around COVID, such that people feel, could it be that the government claims that COVID is that serious here and that they are fatalities just because they want to gain, someone wants to gain by procuring stuff that will not be used. And this is because the stuff that has been brought is either substandard, it's embezzled, or it has been kept in a warehouse without being used. So even the Office of the Auditor General's report, recent report, has also shown that even county governments have not used the funds properly. So all of that has fueled the skepticism, has contributed to the myth and some kind of apathy about COVID-19. And now that the vaccine is about to be rolled out, we are yet to see if that will affect how Kenyans receive it.
Suleiman, your comment about skepticism among South Africans about the vaccine, and also Nelly mentions the breach of procurement procedures and corruption involved in this. Now, there are so many vaccines, the JJ, you have the AstraZeneca, you have those coming from Russia, you have coming from China. How is that situation like in South Africa?
South Africa is not immune from the rumors and the skepticism running around. We too in South Africa face the same problem. That is why the government responded very, very, very quickly. For example, when the vaccines arrived, the president himself, President Ramaphosa, was the first to receive the jab. And in every province, when they are going to roll it out, they have made it a policy, almost a norm now, that the leadership within that particular presence takes the job first to give confidence to the people. In the meantime, on the sidelines, the civic education is continuing because, as you are saying, there are all stories going around all these vaccines, not only on the continent alone, but internationally, globally, the stories are moving around. That is why WHO has to explain every now and then. South Africa, what is helping us also is that even before the skepticism about the vaccine came, our scientists were giving the nation a brief of on the virus almost regularly. They keep updating the brief. So there is confidence in the health system within South Africa. That is helping to bolster the people, at least to get the confidence that they take the vaccine. The other point is that South Africa, unlike the other African countries, the death levels have been overwhelming. There is anxiety by and large. People are anxious because it has killed left and right. So as far as our numbers compared to the continent, ours have been tens and thousands of people dying in particular areas. So because of that, people are so anxious. Many people are so anxious to take anything. They are so anxious to take the jab because nobody knows. Yes, because of the response because of the response measures that have been taken, the numbers have been going down. We have opened up the economy. As Nelly has said, even us, we have opened up the economy. Many institutions have been opened. The children went back to school already. They are already in school. Many businesses have been opened. The tourism industry is being opened in phases. Yes, we are doing it, but the country is aware of the disaster that it has caused. Therefore, each one of many people are willing to take the job, regardless of the risks which are involved.
I see. And Nelly, in many countries, even the developed ones, there's been a problem of prioritizing who gets the vaccine first, who gets next. They talk of essential workers, they talk of health workers. In other countries, politicians have taken advantage. They want to be the first in the line. How is that prioritization going on in Kenya or in the neighborhood there?
Yes. Interestingly, in Kenya, we are not yet talking about it because it's not here yet. But from the official reports from the ministry, it shows that the target is the healthcare workers. And then the other population maybe will follow. And something interesting that I saw attributed to the World Health Organization, the head of Africa,
WHO regional office.
The WHO regional director for Africa. The WHO regional director for Africa, Dr. Moeti, in her tweet, she had indicated that Africa has watched other regions start COVID-19 campaign from the sidelines for too long. And the planned rollout is a critical step to ensure the continent gets equitable access. I'm quoting her. So she was concerned that Africa, when the developed countries are busy giving out vaccines, some have even double doses, exceeding their population, like Canada, it had five times over doses against its population. It has 338 million doses, which is enough to vaccinate a population that is five times over. The UK also has 457 million doses, and this is 3.6 times over its population. Other countries in the European Union have 1.8 billion doses, which is 2.7 more than what they need. The US also has two times what it needs. It took 1.2 billion doses. When we look at Africa, developing countries, Brazil, only 55% of its population has been vaccinated. That is, we got 232 million doses. Indonesia, only 38%. That is 190 million people. Other countries in the EU, we have only 38%. India, 4%. So that you see, so when we look at this, we are again seeing inequities even in terms of health. But developed countries they have decided to have more than what they need, as Africa is still scrambling for what is left. And again, to quote the Dr. Moeti, she said, "We are not. No one is safe until everyone is safe." So it is time that those with the capacity to give this vaccine do it, in knowing that it is not, because just vaccinating a very small population in Kenya, it does not protect the whole world. Mm-hmm. It will still expose the whole world, even those vaccinated, because even vaccine is not like 100% cure. Even those with vaccine sometimes can be vulnerable to getting COVID-19. And in Kenya, we see that we have the issue of Tanzania. The Tanzania cases are worrying, and in fact, we have enhanced our border surveillance because we know that Tanzania is still in denial, and because of this denial, there's been a sharp spike, there are a lot of infections, and this keeps Kenya vulnerable. We are not immune because we are next-door neighbors. So this kind of issues that should really worry the world, and the world should start paying attention and ensure that Africa is well equipped and given the right vaccine for at least half or at least a huge percentage of the population so that there's no scrambling for it.
Briefly, I'll address that issue that Nela just mentioned, beginning with Suleiman. Most developed countries can afford the vaccine. Some of them actually developed it. Africa, in many countries, they are waiting for donations from Europe, from international organizations, from China, from Russia. What's the impact of that, of having to wait for a handout from as a vaccine? Briefly.
That is the problem, Douglas, which we have, in the sense that it's not only the question of the vaccine. The pandemic found many African health systems weak. It found many African health systems vulnerable. Yes, they have had vaccinations of various diseases, but many of these vaccinations were being sponsored by donor countries, now left on their own because the donor countries are always so busy with their problem, you find the problem cropping up so much that, as Nelly has said, much as Kenya in her own is trying the much it can try, but the neighboring countries cannot match her, which makes Kenya still be vulnerable. For example, when you look, it's not only Tanzania, but even Uganda. Uganda, which accepted that is the COVID, but what has it done? Does Uganda have the testing capability? What are the testing? Does Uganda know exactly how many people are infected with COVID? Does it know how many people are dying from COVID? So you'll find, if you go into Uganda, you'll ask, do they have sufficient testing kits? Do they have the infrastructure of tracing, of testing, of managing those which have come? Or they are just trying it only the few cases? You may find in many African countries, the number of infections are more than those which are reported. For example, as you are well aware, only by yesterday, it was being reported in Nigeria that only in Lagos, they have just discovered that they might do it with over 4 million infections in Lagos state alone. Imagine all this data had not come out. So, which means the testing is not sufficient, the data available is not sufficient. So as you talk about the rolling out of the vaccination itself, you should look at the infrastructure, you should look at the strength of the health system, even before you bring the vaccines. Of course, now when you come to the vaccine itself, as Douglas, you have rightly said, there are issues of cost. Have the countries got the finances, apart from Kenya, Ghana, and Senegal, and some few countries which are politically stable, which have got well-organized governments, democratic governments, with the proper institutions. But with many of our countries which are politically disorganized, number one, they are surviving from hand to mouth. Do they have the finances? They survive on donors, as Douglas has rightfully said. So, for example, Uganda has said it needs about 32 million doses from the COVAX fund. But do they have the money to pay for it? Do they have the budget? If it comes, do the corruption pandemic, which is raging on the whole continent, will it allow the country to procure it and to roll out without inconveniencing the citizens? Mm-hmm. Will the country procure medicines which are right, or it will procure expired drugs, as has been the case in the past
years
all over the continent? So, et cetera, et cetera. You should find that the continent as a whole still has a challenge, Douglas.
All right. We're out of time. One word, Nelly, is does Kenya have the resources to import the vaccines?
We are trying to, under COVAX and the AU, we hope that this vaccine will be accessible, because we know that, again, there will be inequities when it comes, because the affluent might be the ones to be able to access it. And again, we hope that it will not be shrouded in the same stories we have heard about COVID-19 and equipment. There will be a lot of corruption and people seeking to benefit from this particular procurement.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for this edition of Reporters Roundtable. Nelly Mona Nyangarora, Nairobi-based independent journalist, thanks very much for being on the show.
Thank you. And well, for hosting me.
You're welcome. And thank you to Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst based in Durban, South Africa. Thanks, Suleiman.
It was a pleasure. Thank you very much for inviting
us. You're welcome. We're back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'm your host, Douglas Simpuga, in Washington, wishing you all the best.